Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to begin by telling you all a story. So once upon a time, there was an elderly couple, and they all their kids were grown. They lived by themselves in the Outer Banks, North Carolina. They lived away from the touristy area in one of those houses all by itself, off by the sand, beautiful little setting. And one day during the summer, there was a hurricane warning, and the rains were beginning to pick up, and an evacuation was ordered. And they were kind of used to this. They'd been through this routine before. They knew that this was just part of the risk of living down there. And so they go out to their car and get ready to leave, and the car won't start. So they realize they're stranded, and they say, what are we going to do? And they pray. They're good, faithful Catholics. And they say, we're going to pray. And they pray to God to come and save them. And they hear very clearly in prayer. Now, whether or not a bystander would have heard this as well as a voice coming from heaven is unknown, or whether or not it was just in their head, but they hear very clearly, I will come to save you. And they say, great. And so they try to encourage each other, and they are waiting then for the Lord to come and save them. And all of a sudden, a car, a distant neighbor, who knows that they were out there and just wanted to come and check on them, pulls up and says, why are you still here? And they explain the situation. Our car won't start, and we didn't know what to do, but we prayed, and God said he's going to come to save us. They said, well, hop in. I can save you right now. No. God said he was going to come and save us. Thanks, but no thanks. We don't want to give in to this temptation and doubt the Lord. And so, all right, you're crazy. So they leave. Over time, the waters pick up, and sure enough, their whole first floor begins to flood, and they make their way up to the second floor. Waters continue to come, and a boat, these same people, they knew they were there, and they come over to their house, and they say, hop in. Obviously, God did not come and save you. Hop in right now. We can still save you. They say, no, we're not going to test the Lord. He said he was going to come to save us. We're going to trust him. And so the boat goes away, thinking these people are crazy. Waters continue to rise. They climb out of the window. They get onto the roof. And they're standing on the roof, stranded. And they're beginning to doubt, beginning to wonder. And these same people who had come before, now they've sent a helicopter. And the helicopter comes over, screams down to them, come on, grab the rope. We're going to lift you away. And they say, no, we're not going to give in to this temptation. God said he was going to come and save us. And we are faithful, and we believe that, and we're not going to tempt him. And so there's nothing they can do. Helicopter goes away. Sure enough, the waters continue to rise, and what do you know? They drown to death. Now, they were faithful Catholics. They had gone to confession the Saturday before. And so they go straight to heaven. And they get to heaven, and they say, Lord, you said you were going to come and save us. Why didn't you save us? Did we not hear you? Was that not your voice? Was that just our head making something up, making us think that we heard your voice in prayer? The Lord says, no, that was me. I told you I was going to come and save you, and I tried three different times. And you didn't come. Something like that is going on in the gospel today. Because you see, throughout the Old Testament, through all the various books of prophecy in the Old Testament, the Lord was telling his people, I will come to save you. And throughout these books of prophecy, he would tell them little hints about what it would be like when I come to save you, what the Savior himself would be like. They never gave all of the details, but they gave enough. They said stuff that we heard in the first reading. We know, for instance, they say his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. So they gave little details throughout the Old Testament. We have little details throughout the Old Testament of what it would be like, what society would be like, what the earth would finally come to be like when the Savior comes, and what the Savior himself would be like, and what would happen beforehand. And this is what's going on in the gospel, because John the Baptist's disciples are beginning to wonder, are you the Savior? Are you the Christ, the Messiah? And what does he say? He says, basically, the signs have been fulfilled. He says, the blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The poor have the good news proclaimed to them. These were all things that the prophet said would happen. And he goes on to talk about John the Baptist. Oh, and by the way, remember how the prophets talked about this guy who would come before the Savior and announce repentance and prepare a way for the Lord? That was John the Baptist. And he was talking about me. That's what the Lord is saying, that yes, I am he. But the problem, the reason why they're asking this question, the reason why they're unsure, is because they had in their own mind what the Savior would be like. Because the prophets talked about how the Savior would be like a great king who would lead his people and who would reign over them in justice and mercy and peace. But it also talked about him being like a great military commander who would once and for all lift them from their oppressors. The Jewish people throughout their history were constantly being oppressed and conquered by some people and then another people, and we can read about that in the Old Testament too. So they had their own idea of what the Savior would be like. And some of them were expecting a real military commander to come and finally throw off the yoke of slavery, finally throw off their conquerors, their oppressors. And some of them were expecting a king in their own mind. And that's why the Lord says, if you're looking for someone in fine robes, they're in royal palaces. As if to say, yes, I am a king, but not the kind of king you expect. I am a military commander, in a sense, who will lift you from your oppressors, but not the kind you expect. Your spiritual oppressors. Those, as he says elsewhere in Scripture, who can kill not just the body, but the soul. So we see that it's very easy to miss the Lord, as it was in our Lord's time, and brothers and sisters, as it is today. We can miss the coming of the Lord who has promised to come and save us. We can miss him if we have our own preconceived notions of what it would be like when he does come to save us. As many people in our Lord's time missed him and failed to accept him as the Savior because he didn't fit their model of what the Christ should be like, we too can fall into that same trap. And it's much easier, I think, for us nowadays to do that because our Lord comes to us in weakness and humility just as he first did. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that when the Savior finally came, he would come as a weak baby? That in itself was a shock to some. And if not to some, certainly to others, when he was finally crucified, the Savior, to give himself up on a cross to be killed, that would have crushed all hope that he was the Savior. And yet, if we read the prophecies correctly, we see that, yes, he was to be born as a person like us. And yes, he was going to suffer and die. And yet also be a king. And yet also be that great military commander. But for us today, how easy is it for us to miss the coming of the Lord in something like the Blessed Sacrament, that in just a few moments, through the ministry of his priest, the Lord will speak the very words that he spoke at the Last Supper and turn bread and wine into his own flesh and blood, and that upon this altar will no longer be any bread and wine, but the flesh and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the eternal Son and Word of God, will be on this altar. God will come here to save us. And how easy will it be for us to miss his coming to save us if we kind of write off, just from the beginning, that God could ever possibly come to us like that. God's God. He's not going to come to us under the lowly appearance of bread and wine. He's going to come in power and greatness. Well, yes, he does come in power and greatness, but under the veil of weakness and humility. Or when we go to confession, and God chooses in his providence, how, I don't know, he chooses to use his priest again, who himself is a weak sinner just like anyone else. He uses his priest to absolve other people of their sin. And we can say, I don't think God's going to work that way. I don't believe in that. Well, we're going to miss God coming to save us if we don't think he's going to come to save us that way. And with all the sacraments, but not just the sacraments, how about in prayer? If we don't think God's going to talk to us in prayer, if we don't think God's going to listen to us in prayer, whether or not he talks to us is another thing, but if we don't think God's going to listen to us in prayer, we're going to miss him coming to save us. If when we pick up the Bible and we think, it's a book 2,000 years old, it has some history to it, but it's not really the Word of God, well, then we're going to miss God coming to save us, to talk to us through his Word. If we have these ideas of how he is going to come and save us, we need to get rid of those ideas. We need to get rid of those preconceived notions of what it will be like when God comes to save us and how he will come to save us. I'm going to conclude just with this, is that this third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, the midpoint of Advent, it's telling us to rejoice in the midst of this penitential season. And by the way, it's important to remember that Advent is meant to be a penitential season, not as severe as Lent, but there is an ancient tradition of giving stuff up during Advent, just as one would during Lent, and perhaps taking on additional practices. And just as at the midpoint of Lent, we have that one Sunday where the priest wears robes and reminds us, you're halfway there, keep going, we have that feast today, that midpoint of Advent, and we are told, rejoice. Get ready, because God is coming to save you. The church is reminding us. The scriptures are reminding us God is coming to save us. But there's a caveat. We need to remove any of those ideas of how he is going to come and save us, and be open for him to come and save us how he chooses.